This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muhammad, ya Rasul Allah, ya Habib Allah, ya Rasul Allah, ya Habib Allah, ya Nabi Allah, Muhammad,
ya Rasul Allah,
Muhammad,
ya Habib Allah,
Muhammad.
A clan of Bani Mustaliq, the tribe of Bani Mustaliq, and they were their cattle were just drinking on and getting and eating, and they were just in their own usual daily routine, and they saw the Muslim army attacking them. So there was not a fighting that actually took place, because the army of Bani Mustaliq did not have the chance to assemble and put much of a resistance. And that was one of the methods to strike and take that element of surprise on the Muslim side. In one narration in Ibn Ishaq, and we consider Ibn Ishaq not as a sahih or a hadith book, it is a history book. And Ibn Ishaq mentioned that there was actually fighting. One of the things that happened is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam captured the daughter of the tribe chief, which his name was Al-Harith ibn Dirar. And her name was Juwayriyah bint Al-Harith. And in that there is a lesson. Why was that important? She was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a slave, as that was the custom after capturing the prisoners after a successful raid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that this is an honorable woman from an honorable house, from the elite in her tribe and clan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing his nation and his people and the ones after him how to treat people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to put her down or to show her the might and enforce his own dominance upon her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that woman her freedom. And he asked her to marry him if she would declare Islam. If she would stop worshipping Manat and declare Islam, then she would be the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she accepted. And Juwayriyah bint al-Harith, Harith is either the seventh or the eighth Umm al-Mu'mineen, is either the seventh, and there is a dispute between whether she was before the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Zainab bin Jahsh or after the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Zainab bin Jahsh. And what happened after that, when people heard and they already, everybody captured his loot and they had their own spoils from that battle with Bani Mustaliq. Everybody has the camels and the sheep and the weapons and the gold. And they heard that all of a sudden Bani Mustaliq became the in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Juwayriyah bint al-Harith. So what do people do? They return all of these spoils to the people of Bani Mustaliq. And most of Bani Mustaliq become Muslims based on that generosity and what they have seen from the generosity of Muslims. And Juwayriyah always used to brag when people talk among themselves. They said, مَا أَحَدٌ أَكْرَمُ عِنْدَ أَهْلِهِ مِنِّي. There is nobody who's more dear and beloved to his family than I am, because of what happened to her people. They were all set free. All the prisoners of Bani Mustaliq were set free, or their money were given back to them because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriage to Juwayriyah bint al-Harith. However, in this battle, a group of al-munafiqeen, kharaja ma Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam jama'atun min al-munafiqeen fi hadhihi al-ghazwa. And the munafiqeen stirred up trouble in this ghazwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the munafiqeen on a course where they are to be exposed and they are to be revealed. And their evil actions will be obvious to the rest of the Muslim ummah. Wallahu mubdin ma kanu yakhum yaktumun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal what they are hiding in their hearts. So what happened? What are the events that happened that revealed these munafiqeen? Let me bring two hadith and we will go over them and let the people that were involved in these events tell you the stories on the first hand. They will tell you what happened to them. The first person and the first hadith is on the authority of Zayd ibn al-Arqam. Zayd ibn al-Arqam, sahabi, min sahabati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd was a teenager at that time. He was a youngster. He was, in some narration, 13, 14 or 15 years old. So he was a young man who went out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslim army. And here is the hadith that is narrated. And this is narrated in the book of At-Tirmidhi. Zayd said, "Kuntu fi ghaza." I was in a battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and most scholars agree that this was this one, the ghazwa of Bani Mustalik. فسمعت عبد الله بن أبي. I heard Abdullah ibn Ubay, who is the head of al-Munafiqeen in Medina, say, لا تنفقوا على رسول الله على من عندي رسول الله حتى ينفضوا من حوله ولئن رجعنا من عنده ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل فذكرت لعمي أو لعمر ما قال عبد الله. Zayd says that I heard Abdullah ibn Ubay saying something when I was in the same place. He said, Abdullah said, that do not spend money on those around Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they will leave him. So if they don't have enough money and they become poor around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would yanfaddu, they will leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and go about their business. And when we come back, when we go back to Medina, then the proud one or the upper ones will expel the downtrodden or the down ones. And this is a serious allegation and this is a serious conspiracy against al-Muhajireen. Abdullah ibn Ubay was trying to have a friction in the Muslim community to turn al-Ansar against al-Muhajireen. There was another story narrated upon the very same ghazwa, and this was in Al-Maghazi, in the book of Al-Maghazi, that there was an argument up on the water between a servant to Umar ibn al-Khattab and a man from Al-Ansar. And the servant of Umar ibn al-Khattab called upon al-Muhajireen to help him in this dispute and in this fight against al-Ansari. And the man of al-Ansar called upon the rest of al-Ansar to help him against al-Muhajireen that gathered around the servant of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the commotion and he got angry and he said, أَبِ دَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانَيْكُمْ. That you call with this, who's Muhajireen and who's Ansar? You're all Muslims. This division was in Al-Jahiliyyah. The people of Quraysh and the people of Al-Aws and the people of Al-Khazraj. This allegiance, this relationship is a matter of Jahiliyyah on the day of ignorance. After Islam, we all brothers in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have the same goal and we are in the same community. So they calmed down. However, when Abdullah ibn Ubay heard about this, he got angry. How come they come, those muhajireen, they come poor from Mecca with nothing and we host them, we feed them, and now they want to become like one of us, they want to just come to the water with us and sometimes before us? What's going on? So he said a word that was very hurtful. He said, كَمَا قَالَ الْأَوَّلُونَ سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكَ يَأْكُلْكَ. That if you feed your dog, then your dog will come and eat you. He's saying that these dogs basically are al-Muhajireen. And we fed them. We made them fat and healthy. And now they want to attack us. What kind of what kind of look that he is looking against those Muslim brothers. So he said that when we go back to Mecca, though when we go back to Medina, excuse me, then we will expel them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqun. And that would be Surah 63, and we will read inshaAllah the verses 7 and 8. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا ولله خزائن السماوات والأرض ولكن المنافقين لا يفقهون يقولون لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون. They, المنافقين, are the ones who say, spend not on those who are with Allah's messenger until they desert him. And to Allah belong the treasures of heavens and earth. But the hypocrites comprehend not. They, the hypocrites, say, if we return to Al-Madinah, indeed the more honorable will expel therefrom the meaner. But honor, power, and glory belong to Allah, Allah says, and to His Messenger, and to the believers, but the hypocrites know not. So that was the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a plot. So Zayd ibn al-Aqam, the Sahabi that I just mentioned, came to Umar ibn al-Khattab and came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him what happened. Umar ibn al-Khattab, we will expect his response to such a claim. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Mur Abbad ibn Bishr, the one that the executioner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, tell Abbad, falyaqtul. We had enough of Abdullah ibn Ubay and his conspiracies and his plotting. Mur Abbad, falyaqta ra'sa. Fazim, look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, فَكَيْثَ يَا عُمَرْ إِذَا تَحَدَّثَ النَّاسِ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا يَقْتُلُ أَصْحَابَهِ لَا وَلَكِنْ إِذَنْ بِالرَّحِيلِ. He said, Ya Umar, then you would want people to hear that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is killing his companions. Now Abdullah ibn Ubay, on the surface he's declaring what? He's declaring that he's a Muslim. And in Arabia he is known that he is a Muslim. Muslims know, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and above all Allah knows, that this is a hypocrite. He is not a real Muslim. But the people of Arabia don't. They will say, then Muhammad, if you follow Muhammad, Muhammad might kill you one day. That would be the propaganda that would come out. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something that is very unusual. He asked the people to pack and start marching back to Medina in a time that they don't usually march. They were resting. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very intelligent, and he was always very intelligent and very smart, but he did this very wise act. Because if he let people continue talking about the events, then some muhajireen's heart will be filled with pride and anger against what Abdullah ibn Ubay said about him. Abdullah may have a chance to get some people to help him in his basically his effort against al muhajireen, and there may be more problems. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Everybody start marching back to Medina." And they continue on with the marching. And then Usayd ibn Hudayr, may Allah be pleased with him, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, لَقَدْ رُحْتَ فِي سَاعَةٍ مُنْكَرًا. This is not the time where we usually march. What is going on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَمَا بَلَغَكَ مَا قَالَ صَاحِبُكُمْ. Did you not hear about what your friend said? And we know Abdullah ibn Ubay was from which tribe? He was from Al-Khazraj. And Usayd ibn Hudayr was from Al-Khazraj. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complaining to Usayd, this is what your cousin basically is saying. That he's saying when we go back, that we are the dogs, that we were brought to Medina, and now we're healthier, and now we are attacking them, and when we go back to Medina, the honorable, who are Abdullah and his clan, will expel Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Then Usayd ibn Hudayr, the mu'min, the believer, said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you, Rasulullah, will expel him. Based on what he says, if the more honorable will expel the meaner, then you will expel Abdullah ibn Ubay. He said, فَأَنْتَ الْعَزِيزِ وَهُوَ الزَّلِيلِ. He is the meaner, and you are the more honorable. Then when we get to Medina, then you, inshallah, will expel Abdullah ibn Ubay, despite that he was one of his tribe. He was one of his cousins. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, irfaq bihi. Ya Rasulullah, have mercy, have patience on him. فَوَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ جَاءَنَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. Wallahi, when you came to Medina, وَإِنَّ قَوْمَهُ لَيَنْظِمُونَ لَهُ الْخَرَزَ لِيُتَوِّجُوهُ. He was about to be crowned as king of Medina, Abdullah ibn Ubay. فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى أَنَّكَ اسْتَلَبْتَهُ مُلْكًا. That he, Abdullah, thinks that you have taken his kingdom from him. He thought that he would be the king of Medina, and here comes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Medina all becomes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues marching all day until the night, and then they continued on marching the entire night on this travel and traveling. I mean, if you're on an airplane for 18 hours, then you, when you get to the end of your trip, you're very exhausted and you're very tired. On the back of the camels and walking, most of them were also walking, they take turns. This is a very hard journey. One day, an entire night, and then the next day, and they continue on marching, so until they got tired. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at sunset, he said, now we can rest. And then people that were there said, once we touched the floor, once we touched the ground, we were all asleep. We were all so exhausted that nobody had time to talk about this problem. Then Abdullah ibn Ubay heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told about what he said. And he thought that he was within his people in Al-Khazraj, and he was doing a conspiracy that he did not want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to know about. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi ya Rasulullah. He always gave an oath, مَا تَكَلَّمْتُ بِهِ وَلَا قُلْتُ بِهِ. That I didn't say that, I never mentioned that. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, I didn't say any of these words. And then some of the Khazraj and some of the Aws, some of these Ansar, they said, لَعَلَّ الْغُلَامِ. Maybe this young man, this Zayd ibn al-Arqam, قَدْ أَوْهَمَ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. Maybe he's got confused. He didn't really understand what Abdullah ibn Ubay, I mean, would you believe a 14 or 13 year old boy, basically, and deny the oath of the chief of the clan, of the one that was about to be a king on Medina? I mean, what kind of a scale is that? And then Zayd said, فَأَصَابَنِي هَمٌّ لَمْ يُصِبْنِي قَبْلُ قَبْلُ. That I was so saddened that people, everybody is now looking at me as if I'm the evil party here. وَكَأَنَّ زَيْدْ هُوَ الَّذِي يُقِعَ الْعَدَاوَ بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And he said, I was so saddened and I was so horrified. What will happen? I know that I heard what he said, and now everybody is accusing me of I'm being the liar, not Abdullah ibn Ubay. And he said, then I went to my house and I sat there. Went to my tent and my place and I sat and I didn't want to talk or see anybody. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals these two verses that we just recited. That those who said that when we come back to Medina, then the more honorable will expel the meaner party. And then he said, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me somebody to tell me, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ صَدَّقَكَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself was a witness that you are a truthful Yazid, that you are a believer. And then they got to Medina, and the strangest thing happened at the gates of Medina. Now Abdullah ibn Ubay is trying to come back to Medina as if nothing happened, because he denied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he didn't say that. And this was only this man lying. And he would become the master of Medina, and he will continue his honorable place in his tribe, Al-Khazraj. And he sees his son. His son is Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah, son of Abdullah, son of Ubay. And he was standing on the gates of Medina with his sword in his hand. And he said to his father that you cannot come and enter Medina until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you the permission to come in, because you are the meaner and he is the more honorable person. So Ibn هذا المنافق Ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay يقف على باب المدينة مشرعا سيفه يقول لأبيه والله لا تدخلنها حتى يأذن لك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه الأعز وإنك أنت الأذل. What kind of a belief? And this Abdullah was not an enemy to his father, and he loved his father so much, and we will see how much he loved his father. After this he went to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, and he said, يا رسول الله إن كنت قاتله فمرني به, that if you are to kill my father for what he did, and that would be justice to do that, then let me do it. فأنا أبر الناس بأبي, there is nobody loves his father as much as I do. وإني أخشى إن رأيت قاتله في المدينة لأقتله فأقتل مؤمنا بمنافق فأدخل به الجنة. He said, I'm afraid, because I love my father so much, that if I see the one that kills him, after he kills him, then I would take revenge and I may retaliate in a moment of anger, and I may kill that mu'min, that believer, who would be doing something that is justice and something that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order, to kill that munafiq, to kill that hypocrite. But if I kill that man, then I would be killing a mu'min, a believer, for the blood of munafiq, then I will go to Jahannam. So if you want my father killed, let me do it, and I will go ahead and kill my father. So instead of becoming the more honorable, and instead of keeping his status, he lost his status in Medina, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he lost his status in his own house, and in his own family. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retaliated from him. And what happened is one story that Ibn Ishaq narrated, that he said that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to khutbat al-jum'ah, to do khutbat al-jum'ah in Medina, the one that used to stand up in front of everybody before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up on the minbar was Abdullah ibn Ubay. And he used to tell the people of Medina, هذا رسول الله, this is Rasulullah, came to you, جاءكم وجاءكم بكتاب الله وأنعم الله عليكم بالإسلام فاسمعوا له وصدقوه. Then he used to come, he's a munafiq, he's a hypocrite. So what he was showing is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to do khutbat al-jum'ah, he would say, you people of Medina, this is Rasulullah, this is the messenger of Allah, he came to you with the truth, so listen to him and believe in him. And then after that event, after he showed what he has showed, then the Khazraj, when he was used to stand up before Salat al-Jum'ah to introduce Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, shut up and sit down. His people would say, you shut up and sit down. They will say that you are not, لَسْتَ أَهْلًا لِذَلِكَ, that you are not worthy of introducing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the minbar. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he asked him, Ya Umar, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ لَوْ قَتَلْتُهُ يَوْمَ قُلْتُ, Ya Umar, if I killed him on the day that you told me to kill him, لَأَرْعَدَتْ لَهُ آنِفْ, that means that many people will come to his help, and we would have, many people will ask for his revenge, and many people will be basically saddened and bitter about the killing and the execution of Abdullah ibn Ubay. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ أَمَرْتُهَا الْيَوْمَ بِقَتْلِهِ لَقَتَلَتْهِ. That this group that would scream for retaliation of his death, if I asked them today to kill him, they will kill him. Because now they know what kind of a man he is. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab, then Umar said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَاللَّهِ عَلِمْتُ لَأَمْرُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَأَعْظَمُ بَرَكَةً مِنْ أَمْرِي. Now I know that the order and the opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more blessed and more wise than my opinion. He was humbled by the results that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought. The second event that happened during Ghazwat Bani Mustaliq was even harder and more personal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That event was what is known in our Islamic history as Hadithatul Ifk. Al-Ifk means the vicious and unjust lie. And that vicious and unjust lie was spread by the very same person, the enemy of Allah, the munafiq, the hypocrite, Abdullah ibn Ubay. And that incident of the ifk touched the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And touched the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most beloved creature to his heart. That is, in hadith al-sahih, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ. Which of the people is more beloved to you, Rasulullah? And he said, Aisha. He said, Aisha, his wife, radiallahu anha. And then the man said, أَعْنِي مِنَ الرِّجَالِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. No, I mean of the men, who is the most beloved? He said, أَبُوهَا, her father, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be blessed with him. This incident touched the house of Rasulullah, touched the daughter of one of the more important companions, touched the house of Abu Bakr himself, and touched another mu'min. And we will let Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, tell us the story of Al-Ifk from her standpoint. Aisha says in this hadith as-sahih, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد سفرا أقرع بين نسائه. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he wanted to go out on a journey or a ghazwa or a battle, and he wants to take one of his women, he will let him basically do what we call today like the draw the straw, or do something similar to a small lottery. So he will whoever gets that long one or the short one, whichever it is,
casting lots.
Jazakallah khair. فَأَيَّتُهُنَّ خَرَجَ سَهْمُهَا خَرَجَ بِهَا مَعَهُ. Whoever gets that, she goes out with him. So he leaves that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّهُ أَقْرَعَ بَيْنَنَا فِي غَزَى. That he did the same thing. فَخَرَجَ سَهْمِي. Then I was the one that was chosen to go out. فَخَرَجْتُ مَعَهُ بَعْدَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْحِجَابِ. Then I went out with him, and we mentioned the last time that hijab was given to Muslims between the 5th and the 6th year of Hijrah. So that was before the Ghazwat al-Mustaliq. وَأَنَا أُحْمَلُ فِي هَوْدَجْ. And I was carried in this little cart that is usually getting above the camels. فَسَرْنَا حَتَّى إِذَا فَرَغَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِنْ غَزْوَتِهِ تِلْكَ. After the ghazwa was finished, after all of that was done, وَقَفَلَ. And then we were going back to Medina. وَدَنَوْنَا مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ. And we were very close to Medina. آذَنَ لَيْلَةً بِالرَّحِيلِ. One night he said that we should pack up and just continue on marching. فَقُمْتُ حِينَ آذَنُ بِالرَّحِيلِ حَتَّى جَاوَزْتُ الْجَيْشِ فَلَمَّا قَضَيْتُ مِنْ شَأْنِي أَقْبَلْتُ إِلَى الرَّحْلِ فَلَمَسْتُ صَدْرِي فَإِذَا عَقْدٌ لِي مِنْ جَزْعِ أَظْفَارِ قَدِ انْقَطَعَ. Aisha says, and Aisha at that time, if you know the history of the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did the aqd al-nikah, the contract of nikah in Mecca when she was 7 years old. And he married her when she was 9 years old on the first year of Hijrah. So this Ghazwa was on the fifth or on the sixth year of Hijrah. So she was 15 at that time. So she was very young. And then she said, I was out, and then when people used to use the bathroom at that time, they would go very far, because there is no in-houses or outhouses to do whatever they do, especially the women, they would go very, very far to do that. So she said, I did, I went out to the bathroom, and then I was coming back to my camel. Then when I put my arms around my neck, I found that I lost my necklace. So I figured that my necklace would be where I was walking away to use the bathroom. So I went back to find my necklace before they leave. وَأَقْبَلَ الرَّهْطُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُرْحِلُونَنِي فَاحْتَمَلُوا هَوْدَجِي فَرَحَّلُوهُ عَلَى بَعِيرِي وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنِّي فِيهِ وَكَانَ النِّسَاءُ إِذْ ذَاكَ خِفَافًا لَمْ يُثْقِلُهُنَّ اللَّحْمُ وَإِنَّمَا نَأْكُلُ الْعَلَقَةَ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. What she says means that when people came, when I was going to search for my necklace, people came and looked at my cart, which was sitting beside the camel, and there is hijab, so they cannot open the door and say, are you there, Aisha, are you not there, Aisha, they're men. And they came and they opened, and they took the cart and put it on the back of the camel. And she said, I was very lightweight at that time. She was very young, and she said, women did not eat much, the way she describes the event. So they didn't know if I was actually in the cart or I was not in the cart. And they put it on the camel, and they marched on their journey back to Medina. وَكُنْتُ جَارِيَةً حَدِيثَةَ السِّنِ. And I was a young woman. فَبَعَثُوا الْجَمَلَ وَسَارُوا. And they walked on and marched on. فَوَجَدْتُ عِقْدِي. And I found my necklace. فجئت منزلهم وليس فيه أحد منهم. And I came back to the place where everybody was sitting, and I found nobody. فتيممت منزلي الذي كنت فيه. So she didn't panic. She said, I went to the place that I was sitting in. وظننت أنهم سيفقدونني فيرجعون إلي. And I figured that they will miss me after they march on for miles or whatever on the next rest, on the next stop, they will miss her and they will come back and get her. قالت فبينما أنا جالسة غلبتني عيني فنمت. And I was sitting there and I was tired, so I slept. وكان صفوان بن المعطل السلمي. صفوان بن المعطل, companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, قد عرس وراء الجيش فأدلج فأصبح عند منزلي. That Safwan was late and he was tracking the army from behind. And the habit at that time, they used to keep two or three people after the army moves, so that if they left anything in the camp or they left anything at the rest period, they would just search the place and get it and follow up with the army. So Safwan was doing that. فَرَأَ سَوَادَ إِنسَانٍ نَائِمٍ. He saw the shadow of a sleeping person. فَأَتَانِي. He got closer and he saw me. فَعَرَفَنِي حِينَ رَآنِي وَكَانَ يَرَانِي قَبْلَ الْحِجَابِ. He knew who I am from my shape, from my figure, and he used to see me before hijab. Before hijab, Muslims saw each other. So he knew that that was Aisha, his mother. She said, فَاسْتَيْقَظْتُ بِاسْتِرْجَاعِهِ حِينَ عَرَفَنِي. So when he saw Aisha, he didn't say, Assalamu alaykum Aisha, how are you doing? He stood there and said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. And he's not looking at her. He said, and then this, the sound of istirja, of him saying, إِنَّا اللَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, woke me up. فَخَمَرْتُ وَجْهِي بِجِلْبَابِي. Then I covered my face. وَاللَّهِ مَا يُكَلِّمُنِي بِكَلِمَةٍ. Wallahi, he would not speak to me. And he would not address me with one word. وَلَا سَمِعْتُ مِنْهُ كَلِمَةً غَيْرَ اسْتِرْجَاعِ. And I did not hear anything but إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. وَهَوَى حَتَّى أَنَاخَ رَاحِلَتَهُ. Then he got off his camel and he put his camel on the ground. فَوَطَأَ عَلَى يَدَيْهَا فَرَكِبْتَهَا. Then he let me get on his rahila, and he was turning his face away from Aisha. He would not see her getting on that camel. This is what kind of a man Safwan is. حتى أتينا الجيش بعدما نزلوا معرسين. Now we'll stop the hadith here and tell you what happened when Safwan was walking with him, walking in front of the camel, and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, on the back of the camel. As they were walking and he was taking her to the camp of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was seen by nobody else than Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. And he looked at that and he smiled and he said, Wallahi ma najat minhu wa la naja minha. He said, Wallahi, they were not saved from each other. They were not saved from each other. And he spoke the word of ifk. He spoke the word of the vicious and dishonorable, mean lie on the account, on the expense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honor, on the expense of Aisha's honor, on an expense of Abu Bakr's honor, and on the expense of Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal honor. He had no clue. He had no evidence. And he had no idea what happened. He didn't even ask what is going on. Immediately he accused them of the unthinkable. SubhanAllah. And she said, فَهَلَكَ فِي شَأْنِي مَنْ هَلَكَ. And then those who basically, halak means perished, means somebody who got injured by talking about me, about my honor, whoever did it. And this spread among people that were not munafiqeen. Some Muslims that are true believers starting hearing this rumor and talking to each other about it. Of them was Hassan ibn Thabit. Of them was Hamnatu bint Jahsh. And they were just like we all can imagine ourselves in such a position. And let's see, do we ever hear a story and then tell it to somebody else without really knowing what exactly happened? Without getting the evidence about what happened? Yes, we do. And this is very dangerous. Very dangerous. وَكَانَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبَرَ الْإِثْنِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ أُبَيْهِ بْنُ سَلُولِ. But the one who was leading the action was Abdullah ibn Ubay. فَقَدِمْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ. We got to Medina. فَاشْتَكَيْتُ بِهَا شَهْرًا. I was sick there for about a month. She did not know what was going on. She had no idea what was going on. She was just sick in her house, on the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالنَّاسُ يَفِيضُونَ فِي قَوْلِ أَصْحَابِ الْإِفْكِ وَلَا أَشْعُرُ. And people talking and talking about this, and I have no idea. Nobody ever told me about it. وَهُوَ يُرِيبُنِي فِي وَجَعِي أَنِّي لَا أَرَى مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللُّطْفَ الَّذِي كُنْتُ أَرَى مِنْهُ حِينَ أَشْتَكِي. But I was doubtful that I was sick. She was ill. And she would not see the treatment that she used to see from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she was sick. She felt like there is a problem, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not as open with her as he usually is. إِنَّمَا يَدْخُلُ فَيُسَلِّمْ. He would come and he would give salam. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ كَيْفَتِيكُمْ. And they would say, how is she doing? ثُمَّ يَنْصَرِفْ. And then he would go. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يُرِيبُنِي مِنْ. And that, I was very doubtful, very suspicious about his behavior. She would not think that this was going on. She would think that one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to do something to her, tell him something that is not nice about her. She wouldn't think that this is a major issue. حَتَّى نَقَحْتُ. Until I got a little better. فَخَرَجْتُ أَنَا وَأُمُّ مُصْطِحِ. And I went out with one lady, her name was Ummu Mustah, قبل المناصح, in a place called المناصح, وَهُوَ مُتَبَرَّزُنَا. And that's the place we would go to the bathroom too. وَكُنَّا لَا نَخْرُجُ إِلَّا لَيْلًا إِلَى لَيْلٍ. And we would go only, the women would go only in the darkness of the night. وَذَلِكَ قَبْلَ أَن نَتَّخِذَ الْكَنَفِ. That was before we would have outhouses, before we would have places that are hiding, that we can hide behind. وأمرنا أمر العربي الأول. And we used to do. This is what she's trying to describe, the relationship between her and Umm Mustah. وأمها بنت صخر بن عامر خالة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The mother of that lady that was her was Abu Bakr's aunt. وابنها مصطح بن أثاثة. Her son was مصطح. And مصطح was one of the people who was relaying the hadith of Ifk. He was telling people about what is being told about Aisha. He was one of the ones that, والعياذ بالله, started talking about this Ifk. فعثرت أم مصطح. And then أم مصطح flipped. And she said, تعس مصطح. And she cursed her son. Said, may he have hard times or something. And Aisha blamed her. Aisha said, أتسبين رجلا شهد بدرا. How are you cursing a man was in Badr, was in the Battle of Badr? Now those who were in the Battle of Badr are honorable, are forgiven. They are the elite of the Sahaba, those 316 people. And then her mother said, يَا هُنْتَاهُ أَلَمْ تَسْمَعِي مَا قَالْ. Didn't you not hear, يَا عَائِشَة, what he would say? And she said, no. And then she told her. That was the first that she heard about what was going on in Medina, as far as rumors. فَازْدَدْتُ مَرَضًا إِلَى مَرَضِي. Then I was ill and I became more sick and more ill after I heard this story. فَلَمَّا رَجَعْتُ إِلَى بَيْتِي. When I came to my house, دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال كيف تيكم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم came and as he usually said, how is she doing? فقلت أذن لي أن آتي أبواي. She said, give me permission to go to the house of my father and mother. وأنا حينئذ أريد أن أستيقن بالخبر من قبلهما. And at that time I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to hear from them what is really going on. She wants to reconfirm. فأذن لي. Then he gave me permission. فأتيت أبويا. I came to my father. فقلت لأمي. I went to my father's house and I asked my mother, يا أمتاه ماذا يتحدث الناس به. يا أمي, well, my mother, what are people talking about? فقالت يا بنية هوني على نفسك الشأن. يا بنية, my daughter, take it easy. Do not take it so hard on yourself. فوالله لقلما كانت امرأة قط وضيئة عند رجل يحبها ولها ضرائر إلا أكثرنا عليها. Said, wallahi, that every woman that is beautiful and she is loved by her husband and she had and he had other wives, then the wives will say bad things about her. She was telling her, this is just something that happens. She was trying to belittle the event, make it more swallowable in the eyes of Aisha. And she said, Aisha said, Subhanallah, وَلَقَدْ تَحَدَّثَ النَّاسُ بِهَذَا. Then it is true. Then it is true that people are talking about me, talking about my honor. And she said, فَبَكِيتُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةِ فَبَكَيْتُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةِ حَتَّى أَصْبَحْتُ لَا يَرْقَأُ لِي دَمْعٌ وَلَا أَكْتَحِلُ بِنَوْمٍ ثُمَّ أَصْبَحْتُ أَبْكِي. I continued crying that night, and I couldn't eat, and I couldn't sleep. And on that next day, I continued crying. فَدَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وأسامة بن زيد. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very hurt by this whole event. He was in so much pain. Here the people are talking about the most beloved person to his heart, about the daughter of one of the most beloved people to his heart. And he wanted to consult with the closest people to him. He cannot. Who is the closest person? Is Abu Bakr himself. But he cannot consult with Abu Bakr. And he cannot consult with Umar because of his temper. He chose two people to consult with. His cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then his Hibbu Nabiyillah, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd. Usama ibn Zayd. And then he got, he brought these two people and he asked them, this is what is going on. Give me an advice. Tell me what I need to do. What do you think I should do? Here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how much he's distressed. He's asking advice And he is the all-wise. He is the all-knowledgeable person. I mean, he's the one that you would go to for an advice. Here he is coming to Ali and Usama. You know how old was Ali and how old was Usama at that time? Ali ibn Abi Talib was barely 21 or 22. And Usama was barely 15 or something, or less than that. He was asking these people that he trusted. Why he chose them? Because he trusted them so much. And age didn't matter at that time. يَسْتَشِيرُهُمَا فِي فِرَاقِ أَهْلِهِ He wanted to consult them about leaving Aisha. أَمَّا أُسَامَةَ فَأَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بِمَا يَعْلَمُ مِنْ ضَرَاءَةِ أَهْلِهِ وَبِالَّذِي يَعْلَمُ فِي نَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْوُدِّ لَهُمْ فَقَالَ أُسَامَةَ هُمْ وَاللَّهِ أَهْلُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا نَعْلَمُ وَاللَّهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا Usama gave his advice to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, they are your family. That Aisha is your wife. And we know that she is honorable. And we know her. And we know her family. And something like that cannot come out from Aisha. أما علي بن أبي طالب فقال يا رسول الله لم يضيق الله عليك. Ali is his cousin. Is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin. He had this jealousy. That if somebody is talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Aisha, then maybe he just needs to leave Aisha. That was the advice of Ali. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it tight for you. That's the phrase he used. But what it means is you can marry any woman you want and you have many women. Then why Aisha? Why get yourself into this headache? وَالنِّسَاءُ سِوَاهَا كَثِيرٌ And there's many women other than Aisha. But then he gave him another advice. He said, وَسَلِ الْجَارِيَةَ تُخْبِرُكَ Ask her servant. If her servant is with her all the time, then if Aisha is doing anything, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ that is not right, then the jariya, the servant would know. فَدْعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَرِيرًا Then Barira was the servant of Aisha, and he Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم called her, and he said, أي بريرة هل رأيت فيها شيئا يريبك بريرة did you see anything that is suspicious about عائشة did you see anything that is not right about عائشة and بريرة said والله لا والله الذي بعثك بالحق نبيا no والله that sends you with the truth as a prophet إن رأيت منها أمرا أغمصه I'd never seen anything that is dishonorable or anything suspicious from عائشة إِلَّا Except for one thing. What is that? She said, إِنَّهَا جَارِيَةٌ حَدِيثَةُ السِّنِ That she is too young. تَنَامُ عَنْ عَجِينِ أَهْلِهَا That she cannot put the dao together well and she would sleep and forget about it. This was the only issue that she had with Aisha. It's about the dough. About the bread. And other than that, there is nothing. There is nothing. Subhanallah. فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم واستعذر من عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول Then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted to take a position against Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the one that is talking about his honor. Now he had more knowledge that from Usama that he really trusts Aisha and he knows who Aisha is. And Barira hadn't seen nothing suspicious about her. And then he got on the minbar, he got on the pulpit. And he said, من يعذرني من رجل بلغني أذاه في أهلي فوالله ما علمت من أهلي إلا خيرا Who would give me an excuse about a man, and he did not name him, that is talking ill, talking bad about my family. That I know nothing bad about my family. I know nothing but goodness and honor. فقام أسيد بن حضير Now in one narration it says سعد بن معاذ but that has been weakened because we know سعد died on the battle of the trench. So that was after the battle of the trench. But in some books you will see that the entire event happened before. So at any rate, أسيد بن حضير in most narration came up and he is the man. And he أسيد بن حضير is from الأوس he said يا رسول الله أنا والله لا أعذرك منه. I will excuse you in that man. إن كان من الأوس ضربنا عنقه. If he was from our tribe of Al-Aws, we will cut his head. We will kill him. وإن كان من إخواننا الخزرج, but if he was from the Khazraj, our brothers, أمرنا, then let us, give us our orders. فَفَعَلْنَا أَمْرَكَ فِيهِ, then we will fulfill your orders against him. We will kill him. Then Sa'd ibn Ubadah got up, and he was from Al-Khazraj. And he was a righteous man. And this is what Aisha is saying. وَكَانَ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا وَلَكِنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الْحَمِيَّةِ. He was an honorable man, but he got this thing about his tribe. So how come this man of Al-Aws telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's going to come and drag one of my own tribe and kill him based on that order? He said to Usayd, كَذَبْتَ لِعَمْرِ اللَّهِ لا تقتله ولا تقدر على ذلك. You cannot kill him and you don't have the power to kill him. فقام أسيد, and he said, كذبت لعمر الله. They started arguing, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is on the minbar, and they were just going back and forth, and he said, كذبت لعمر الله لنقتله فإنك منافق تجادل عن المنافقين. You are but a hypocrite defending a hypocrite. These are two righteous Sahaba now. This is fitna. This is a test. This is a trial between them. فثار الحيان الأوس والخزرج. Then the Aws came up from one side and the Khazraj came up from one side. And it's about to make a major problem in Medina. حتى هموا أن يقتتلوا. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر. Until they almost grabbing each other and killing, but to fight with each other, to kill each other. فما زال يخفضهم حتى همدوا حتى سكتوا. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started calling upon them to come back to their senses, to come back to their minds, until they quieted down and he let them all go. وبكيت يومي ذلك لا يرقى لي دمع. And I continued on crying. This is continuing on the hadith of Aisha. She continued crying and she said, my tears would not dry. She was sick. وَقَدْ بَكَيْتُ لَيْلَتَيْنِ وَيَوْمًا. She continued crying for two continuous nights and the day between them. حَتَّى أَظُنُّ أَنَّ الْبُكَاءَ فَالِقُ كَبِدِي. Until I felt that crying would burn my liver. سبحان الله. فَبَيْنَمَا هُمَا جَالِسَانِ عَنْدِي وَأَنَا أَبْكِي استأذنت امرأة من الأنصار فأذنت لها فجلست تبكي معي. Then when she was sitting with her father and mother at the house of her parents, and a woman from Al-Ansar came to her to help her, and she started crying with her as she saw the miserable and the sad situation that she's in, and this whole fitna and this whole ifk. فَبَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ إِذْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And as we sitting there crying, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come through the door and he would come with us. ثُمَّ جَلَسْ. And he sat down. وَلَمْ يَجْلِسْ عَنْدِي مِنْ يَوْمِ قِيلَ فِيَّ مَا قِيلَ. And he never sat down in my presence from the day of ifk, from the day of the rumor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sat with Aisha until that particular day. See, he sat with her. وَقَدْ مَكَثَ شَهْرًا. And he was for a whole month. I mean, this whole bad situation lasted for a whole month. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his house is being tested. And the dearest thing that a Muslim has, that is his honor. فَتَشَهَّدَ حِينَ جَلَسْ. And then he made shahada. He said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When he sat down. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then he said, أَمَّا بَعْد. فَإِنَّهُ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. That I heard about you such and such. فَإِنْ كُنْتِ بَرِيئَةً فَيْسَيُبَرِّئُكِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. If you are innocent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal your innocence. This is the heart of the believing Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنْ كُنْتِ أَلْمَمْتِ بِذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. But if you have committed a sin, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. وَتُوبِ إِلَيْهِ. And repent to him. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا اعْتَرَفَ بِذَنْبِهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. that if the servant, if the slave of Allah admitted his sin, admitted his mistake, and repented to Allah, then Allah will accept his repentance and will give him forgiveness. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him. فَلَمَّا قَضَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَقَالَتَهُ قَلُصَ دَمْعِي حَتَّى مَا أَحُسُّ مِنْهُ بِقَطْرًا. He said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam finished his sentence, my tears dried up completely, that I felt none of it, that now this is not sadness. Why is that? Now she felt that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling her there are two options here. You're either innocent or you're not. And option two, option that she is may not be innocent to her, was very hurtful. How now her sadness turned into anger, turned into dismay. How come that you can even consider that there is an option that I'm not innocent? And she said to her father, she would not talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because she was angry with him about what he said. And she told her father, فَقُلْتُ لِأَبِي أَجَبْ عَنِّي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for me. And then Abu Bakr said, وَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَقُولُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And Abu Bakr said, wallahi, I don't know what to tell Rasulullah. It's very hurt. Abu Bakr was. And then she said, I turned to my mother and said, أَجِيبِ عَنِّي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I told my mother, answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for me. And her mother said, wallahi ma adri ma aqulu li rasulillah. Wallahi, I don't know what to say to Rasulullah. Now there's this 15-year-old woman, the honorable, the clean, the pure, feeling that everybody is deserting her and everybody is doubtful and suspicious. Her beloved husband, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her father Abu Bakr, and her mother, that they're all don't want to say the word that we have no suspicious in you. And then she said, إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّكُمْ سَمِعْتُمْ حَدِيثًا تَحَدَّثَ النَّاسُ بِهِ وَاسْتَقَرَّ فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. Wallahi, I know that you heard these rumors that people are spreading around, and it got into your heart, that you believed some of it. فَلَوْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي بَرِيئًا لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي بِذَلِكَ. If I told you that I am innocent, then you would not believe me, because you already have some suspicion in your hearts. وَاَعْتَرَفْتُ لَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بِهِ بَرِيئًا لَتُصَدِّقُونَنِي. But if I admitted something that Allah knows that I did not commit, then you would believe me. Then you would pray for forgiveness and repentance for me. But I didn't do it. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَجِدُ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِلَّا مَثَلًا إِلَّا أَبَا يُوسِفَ. She said, I can't find an example that would give this relation between you and me except the father of Yusuf. She forgot the name. She was young and she didn't know much Quran. And she forgot the name of the Prophet Ya'qub, Jacob. So she said, Abu Yusuf, that until Ithqal, and when he said that Abu Yusuf, when he said, and then she brought this verse from Quran, from Surah Yusuf, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Then patience is beautiful for me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the aid and the help for what you are giving me. ثُمَّ تَحَوَّلْتُ فَضَّجَعْتُ عَلَى فِرَاشِي وَأَنَا وَاللَّهِ حِينَ إِذٍ أَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ. Then I went and went back to my bed, and I know that I am innocent. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مُبَرِّئُنِي بِبَرَاءَتِي. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she never lost faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal the truth about me. وَلَكِنْ وَاللَّهِ مَا كُنْتُ أَظُنُّ أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ فِيَّ وَحْيًا يُتْلَى. But wallahi, I did not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal Qur'an in my case. وَلَشَأْنِي فِي نَفْسِي كَانَ أَحْقَرْ مِنْ أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ فِي. That I didn't think so much of myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would speak in Qur'an to give my innocence to the people. وَلَكِنِّي كُنْتُ أَرْجُوا أَنْ يَرَى الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي النَّوْمِ رُؤْيَا يُبَرِّئُنِي اللَّهُ مِنْهَا. I was hoping and wishing and praying for a dream that would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would see in his dream, and the dreams of the prophets are truth, then he would be, then my innocence would be revealed, and that's all I could hope for. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَامَ مَجْلِسَهُ وَاللَّهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ did not leave his seat. Remember when he sat down, when he walked down to that room, did not leave his seat. وَلَا خَرَجَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ Nobody left that room. حَتَّى أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى رَبِيهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَسُرِّيَ عَنْهُ وَهُوَ يَضْحَكُ Then they felt, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would receive wahi, when he would receive Qur'an, he would go into a state of trance. He would go into a state beyond this earthly condition. He would not be, nobody can talk to him at that time. And then they knew that he was receiving wahi, he was receiving revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when that was lifted, he started smiling, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, the first word, and she said, وَأَوَّلُ كَلِمَةٍ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَا أَنْ قَالَ لِي يَا عَائِشَةَ احْمَدِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ بَرَّأَكِ Ya Aisha, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has descended with your innocence. فَقَالَتْ لِي أُمِّي Then my mother said, my mother was so happy, Umm Ruman, she said, قُومِي إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Go up, go to Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ But she was still angry, Aisha was. She said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَقُومُ لَهُ وَلَا أَحْمَدُ إِلَّا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى Wallahi, I would not go up and thank him. He doubted me. A minute ago he was telling me repent and ask for forgiveness. I will only thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ بَرَاءَتِي Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that came with my innocence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that revealed my innocence in Surah An-Nur. And that was in the verses 11 and 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way to 20. So inshaAllah, Abdullah ibn Ubayy, start by reciting some verses from Surah An-Nur, which is chapter 24. And we'll start with verse 11, inshallah, and then we will go over some of that translation and try to get some of the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us about that event that we discussed in detail last time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإن لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Verily, those who brought forth the slander, which is the event of Al-Ifk, are a group among you. Consider it not a bad thing for you, nay, it is good for you. Unto every man among them will be paid that which he had earned of the sin. As for him among them who had the greater share within, his will be a great torment. Why then did not the believers, men and women, when you heard it, which is the slander, think good of their own people and say, this charge is an obvious lie. Why did they not produce four witnesses? Since they, the slanderers, have not produced witnesses, then with Allah they are the liars. Had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy unto you in this world and in the hereafter, a great torment would have touched you for what hereof you had spoken. When you were propagating it with your tongues and uttering with your mouth what whereof you had no knowledge, you counted it a little thing, while with Allah it was very great. And why did you not, when you heard it say, it is not right for us to speak of this, glory be to you, Allah, this is a great lie. Allah forbids you from it and warn you not to repeat the like of it forever if you are believers. That event when the slanderers and the hypocrites accused the Honorable Aisha with a great crime that she was innocent of. And we recited the hadith in Al-Bukhari, and that's where we stopped the last time, where Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her herself, was telling us the story of Al-Ifk, was telling us how difficult that test was on her husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on her family, her father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and her mother Ummu Ruman, may Allah be pleased with her. And also the other person that was touched and tormented with this was Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal, the man who was accused of committing the crime with Aisha, may Allah be pleased with all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that those who propagated the slander and those who lied about the honor of Aisha were not only one person, there were a group of people. However, the one that has the greatest burden is only one person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that person with great torment, and that person was Abdullah ibn Ubay. Some people that spoke about the slander and propagated the news of the slander, where some of them were not hypocrites, were mu'mins, were believers, and they fell into the trick of shaitan. They fell into the robes of shaitan, and they felt like this is just a matter of amusement. It's great news that should be discussed. And of those people were three sahaba, the three companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two men and one woman. The two men were Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other man was Mustah ibn Uthatha, who is one of the people that witnessed the Battle of Badr, who was one of the people that fought in the Battle of Badr. I mean, honorable people that fell into the trick of shaitan during the event of Al-Ifk. And the woman was Hamna bint Jahsh, who was the sister-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the sister of Zainab bint Jahsh, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those three people, those three sahaba, were punished for their involvement. And they were punished with the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent on His Prophet to purify them and cleanse them from the sin that they got involved in. And they were each whipped 80 times, 80 lashes in punishment for what they have done. However, the man that got the greatest burden of the sin was not whipped and he was not punished. That was Abdullah ibn Ubay. That is, number one, he denied that he spoke of this entire thing. He did not admit. He didn't want to be cleansed. He did not want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he was a hypocrite, because he was a munafiq. He did not believe that he should be purified from his sin. And another thing, he had no witnesses to against him to say that he was the one that actually started the entire rumor. And one of the things that the scholar mentioned is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse that we recited that he will have greatest torment. And had he been punished for this in this life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all fair and all just, would not punish him for it in the hereafter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his greatest punishment for later on, so he would face what he had done. Another verse that we recited is verse 12, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. Why then did you not, the believers, when you heard it, said, felt good about your own people, thought good about your own people, the Prophet and his family, and said, this is an obvious lie. One story that was recited during that event is what happened in the house of the honorable companion Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. We know Abu Ayyub is the first Ansari, the first Sahabi in Medina that opened his house to host Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam resided in the house of Abu Ayyub. So Abu Ayyub and his family knew the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam very well. The wife of Abu Ayyub, Ayyub, she knew Aisha very well. And Abu Ayyub, of course, knew Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because he's a sahabi close to Rasulullah and to his family. So what happened is, and this is narrated in Ibn Ishaq, that Abu Ayyub, his wife Ayyub asked him, Abu Ayyub, أَمَا تَسْمَعْ مَا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ فِي عَائِشَةَ. Did you not hear about what people say about Aisha? And then Abu Ayyub replied with great belief and great faith, and it's, there is a lesson for us to learn from how people of faith deal with slander and with things that touch the honor of Muslims. Abu Ayyub said, نعم وذلك الكذب. Yes, and it is an obvious lie. أكنت فاعلة ذلك يا أم أيوب. Would you have done this, أم أيوب? He asked his wife, if you are instead of Aisha, would you have done what they're accusing Aisha of doing? And she said, لا والله ما كنت أفعله. No, I would not do something like that. And he said, عائشة والله خير منك. That Aisha, والله, is better than you. Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is better than you. So if I could not doubt you, how would I doubt Aisha? How would I have any doubts about Aisha? And she's more honorable and more faithful than any Muslim woman that we know of. And then she said, لو كنت بدل صفوان أكنت تظن بحرمة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سوءا. That if you were instead of Safwan, the man who's accused of committing the crime, would you have done this to the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, no. And she said, well, Safwan khayran minka. Safwan, the man of Badr, is better than you, Abu Ayyub. So how come we are doubting Safwan as well? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commending. He said, لَوْلَا ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. They should go and review their own beliefs and their own knowledge of each other and think the best of each other, not try to take a rumor and propagate the rumor and the slander and accuse each other. And that's what we should take from this lesson as well, is when we hear something bad about a brother and a sister, we shouldn't take that as, for the lack of better term, gospel, and just spread that as the word of truth. We should always think best of each other. We should always make excuses for each other rather than attack each other and attack each other's character and attack each other's faith. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Another continuation of the story was that Mustah was a relative to Abu Bakr. And here is Mustah speaking ill of the house of Abu Bakr, accusing his daughter of this crime. And he was whipped and lashed in punishment for his involvement in this great sin. And Abu Bakr used to give allowance to Mustah. Abu Bakr used to spend on Mustah. He was taking care of him because Mustah was a poor man. And Abu Bakr was a generous, wealthy man who has good relationship with his relative, and he would spend on them. So Mustah, Abu Bakr decided and he vowed that he will never give Mustah any more money after Mustah returning the good deed of Abu Bakr with such a bad act. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَأْتَلُوا أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and let not those among you who are blessed with graces and wealth swear not to give any sort of help to their kinsmen, al-masakeen, the poor, and those who left their homes for Allah's cause. Because Mustah was akin to Abu Bakr, and he was a muhajir. He was somebody who left his house and immigrated in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. So when Abu Bakr heard this verse, he immediately said, بَلَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لِي. Yes, wallahi, I love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive me. And then he returned to Mustah the money and the allowance that he used to give him. And then he vowed. He said, wallahi, لَا أَنْزَعَهَا مِنْهُ أَبَدًا. Wallahi, I will not stop this allowance for Mustah ever. And he forgave him in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. If Abu Bakr is asking for such forgiveness, what should we do? With that, we conclude the ifk. And I'd like to open the floor for any questions or comments about that event and or the events of Ghazwat al-Mustaliq before we continue on for the events that followed Ghazwat al-Mustaliq and preceded Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Wa alaykum as-salam. That, like for example, Mustah. Yeah, I'll repeat the question. Yeah, jazakallah khair. Brother Asif is asking, how were these people that were punished, that were whipped because of the crime, how were they caught? Why off this, obviously there were many other people that got involved in this, but why these three? Like for example, what is narrated for us is Mustah, the man that we were just talking about, his relationship with Abu Bakr. His mother is the one that told Aisha that Mustah is doing this. And then he would just be called and, are you doing this? And he would admit that, yes, I said such and such. A munafiq would not admit. A hypocrite would say, no, I never said that. But these people that were, they admitted their involvement, and they admitted they were spreading the news. Like Hamna bint Jahsh. Hamna was the sister-in-law for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was Zainab's sister, and she basically loved her sister more than she loved Aisha, and she always knew that there is a competition among the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she thought that there's an opportunity to put Aisha down, and she was spreading the news. So also her sister basically told everybody that my sister is doing this, and she got punished for that. And Hassan bin Thabit was a poet, so he also was involved in his social groups and etc. And these are basically the three people that we knew about.
You were lashed 80 times.
80 times.
Rumors you get lashed.
Right, right. It's a huge punishment. Why Abdullah ibn Ubay didn't get punished? Because he, number one, he never admitted that he did. The other thing, there was no witnesses that came forward. He was spreading this among his own circle of munafiqeen, and munafiqeen would spread this in Medina. So among his group, nobody would come forward and say, well, Abdullah said this and this and that. So he got away with it in this life. But here's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will have that he will have عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبَرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, that he will have great torment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he didn't get away with it, that his torment and hereafter will be very great. Right, usually if a Muslim, a believer, committed a sin and got punished for it, and Allah, and he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's cleansing, that's purification for that Muslim from that sin. There is a fiqh question that I can't answer, but let me just pose the question to everybody so we know what Brother Khawar is asking. Is there are many countries, most Muslim countries in the world do not apply the rules of Sharia, and if people were punished according to their own local laws, would that be a purification and would that be a cleansing for them from their own sins? Number one, again, I'm not going to answer any fiqh questions in this session because I'm not qualified. Allahu A'lam. But it's an important question. And again, what I know, and again, this is not a fatwa, if a Muslim committed a sin and repented and regretted it, he doesn't need to go out and ask for punishment. This is known from the hadith, that if a Muslim committed some type of a sin, and then the Muslim does not need to go out and reveal himself to the public if he repented. But if he was caught and repented, then he gets punished, and then he would repent, be cleansed from that sin. Second of all, we take just a couple of minutes.